to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, June 18th, 2023, by Eric Williams.
So if Susan and I seem a little stiff today, it's because we spent the last 2 days cleaning out our basement, carrying stuff up to the garage, getting ready to get rid of years of junk. We didn't do this because we wanted to, but because we have foundation issues and we need to have it excavated and a new drainage system put in. And so we got to make room for all that, and there's too much clutter. So days of that, there's still work to be done. And I was thinking about how that's kind of a spiritual exercise, going through junk, right? We all have junk in our lives. Some of it we inherited. Like a lot of the stuff I've been carrying up was in the basement when we bought the house. I don't know what the former owners had lots of plans for that basement and all kinds of construction materials that were just dumped there. They also had, oddly, a commercial meat slicer. And anyway, I won't go into it all. That's a whole other story. But I want to say, in our spiritual lives, there's stuff that we didn't do ourselves. It's just inherited, right? We got it from prior generations, maybe from our parents or from former generations of whatever. It's just there. And then there's all the stuff we added that just seems to multiply, right? We live in a culture of consumerism, and Susan and I are no exceptions. We have too much stuff. In fact, sometimes we argue about it, how much stuff we have. You know, every relationship, there's usually a saver and a thrower out. You know what I'm talking about? All right. So anyway, in the interest of harmony, I'm not going to go any further. So we're digging through all this stuff. And you know what's fascinating? A lot of it is junk that's going to be disposed of. But there are some jewels in there. There's some gems. A friend of mine several months ago had asked, when I went to high school, it was an Episcopal high school, and I went through what was called St. Dunstan's Guild. And essentially it was boot camp for being a member of an altar guild, I think. We had to learn about all the vestments and the liturgical year and how to set the altar table and all this stuff. I mean, I was really well prepared. When I got to seminary, I knew all that stuff. And my friend who was part of this a couple years before me had said, I'd love to find that old manual from the St. Dunstan's Guild that we all had to memorize. I said, oh, I threw that out years ago. No, I didn't. It was waiting in one of the boxes, in one of the files. I was like, oh my gosh, here's this gem. And so just this morning I scanned it and I'm sending it off to him as a treasure from the past, right? Some things are junk and some things are treasures. And how do we know the difference? Jesus, in commissioning his disciples, it was kind of their graduation day, right? He had been training them to follow in his footsteps. Now it was graduation. He says, all right, go try this. I'm still here. I'm going to coach you, but go try this. Go preach the good news, heal, cast out demons, do everything that I'm doing. You guys do it. And of course, we know the story. They kind of fell flat on their faces and had to come back, and it took a while, but they were equipped for their ministry. But Jesus gave them a key piece of advice. He said, whatever you do, travel lightly, right? Travel lightly. Don't take a lot of junk. Don't bring all the stuff with you. It's like the old advice when you're going on vacation. When you pack your suitcase, take half of it out and take twice the money you were planning. That's how you have a successful vacation, right? But Jesus says, don't even take money. Don't take anything. Just yourselves, because you need to be focused on the main thing. And if you're too much worried about all the stuff you got, do I have my, you know, for me, when I travel, it is all my plugs now. I can't go anywhere without like 15 plugs to charge my watch and my phone and my iPad, right? And got to have all this. So I'm bringing like pounds of electronics equipment. That's not traveling lightly. That's not what Jesus was talking about. When we travel lightly, we're able to keep the main thing, right? And the main thing is to trust in God. God will provide what you need. God will provide the words that you're going to say. If you strip down to the basics, you will be more reliant on God, and God's power will be more abundant in you. I think that's a very hard lesson. I think we want to bring a lot of stuff with us. We don't just store it in our basement. We carry it on our shoulders. We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We worry about so many things that are beyond our control. What's essential is to make room for God. And that's what, in our Old Testament lesson, Abraham was able to do. Abraham, who had given up everything. I mean, he was, in a way, traveling lightly. Now he had his flocks and his herds and his nephew and family. Like, he wasn't that light. But Abraham knew that to follow God, he had to trust in God. And he had to make room for God. And a key element of that for Abraham was the ancient virtue of hospitality. So when these three strange guys showed up out of nowhere in his little place where he was pitched his tent in Mamre. Remember, he had no permanent home, but he's camped out here in Mamre. And these guys show up, and what does he do? Immediately, not knowing who they are, he jumps up and he runs up and he kneels before them. This is extreme hospitality. When is the last time when someone came to your house, you knelt down before them? When did you wash their feet, which is what Jesus did, right? We don't tend to do that. Our hospitality is a lot more reserved, but Abraham was all in. He invited them in. He had Sarah make a meal for them. And then did you notice he didn't even sit down with them? He was their waiter. He stood and served these men, not knowing who they were, but he found out. Be certain, the Bible says, to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, you guys know this quote, some have entertained angels unawares. That's Abraham. He didn't know that these three men were angels. In fact, it's even more mysterious. By the end of the story, it's God. It is God who has showed up on Abraham's doorstep. God who eats at his table, and God who blesses him with the promise of a son, which totally cracked Sarah up. Remember, Sarah's eavesdropping. She's made the meal. Now, as a woman in that culture, she's in the other room, but she's listening, and she is postmenopausal, and the angels say, oh, yeah, your wife's going to have a son. And she's like, that's rich. She's cracking up. And the God or the angels say, your wife's laughing about this. And he's like, no, I'm not laughing. Yes, yes, you laughed. It's okay. Well, these stories, for me, give me three pieces of advice, well, at least three pieces of advice, about our spiritual journey, our digging through the basement, right? Our spiritual work of going internally, going deeper, and trying to find the foundation and repairing the foundation and clearing out the clutter and making room for God. And one is the virtue of hospitality. When we show real hospitality to others, like Abraham did, we are actually showing hospitality to God. And how about the disciples? Jesus said to them, the flip side is also true. We have to be willing to receive hospitality, which I think is even harder. We want to be, as Americans, self-sufficient, autonomous, independent. We don't want to be dependent on anybody. Accepting someone else's hospitality can feel awkward. I want to jump up and do the dishes. Well, in some cultures, that's an insult, right? Hospitality is something you need to graciously receive as well as give. And Jesus told the disciples, if you're going to really do this work, you cannot do it on your own. You need allies. You need friends. You need companions on the way. You need people who will welcome you into their homes and become part of this community of faith. That's a key thing for us. Hospitality as a church, as individuals, as families, how do we show hospitality to strangers? How do we show hospitality to children, to youth, to the elderly, to the sick? How are we making room for God? That's a key part of our spiritual journey. That's part of the clutter that we got to work through, this kind of pride and ego that gets in the way. Secondly, I think Sarah is a great teacher that we got to keep a sense of humor. If we are going to serve God, we got to do it with a light heart. It's not grim. Christianity should not be grim. I cannot stand grim Christianity, stern, right? In my church where I grew up, they showed all the former rectors, they had portraits of them from all the way back, right? All these black and white portraits. Those guys were scary as heck. They looked like they were in pain or upset about something. They looked like they were pointing their finger at me and saying, "You are in trouble, young man." By the time we get to the 70s, suddenly the portraits are in color, the guys are in beards, it was still all guys, and they're smiling. And then by now, we have women, we have people of color, it's a different world, right? But that grim Christianity lingers in us. We gotta have a sense of humor. It's not up to us. Some of the baggage we carry is this desire to be in control of everything. And we are not in control. Sometimes God surprises us. I'm hoping God doesn't surprise us with another child. No. But you never know, right? No. So hospitality and a sense of humor. And then there is part of that journey of the disciples, which is keep the main thing the main thing. Find the buried treasure amidst all of that wonderful tradition and richness. What is the main thing? And St. Paul, excavating his Jewish faith, finds the key. And that is that we are saved, not by our own perfection, not by our own efforts, but by God's grace. And we accept that salvation through faith. That's the main thing for Paul. Every one of his letters is a kind of meditation on that same theme, that you are blessed and loved by God. I hope our graduates who are heading out into college in the world, I hope all of us know that core message that God loves you, that God sent his son for you, that you are acceptable in his sight, beloved as his child, and God has already saved you. You're not gonna earn it, you're not gonna deserve it, you're not gonna screw it up. It is yours. It's who you are. I hope you know that. I hope you feel that. That's the main thing that Jesus wanted those disciples to proclaim, that Paul wanted his churches to know and to remember. Keep the main. That's what traveling light for me in the end is. By getting rid of all that junk, I want to find the precious jewel. Remember the parable of the woman who was cleaning her house and found the pearl of great price in the field, or the money. There's like three parables. I get them all confused. But the one precious thing that we need to hold on to. We are, all of us, surrounded by junk. Junk in our world, in the news, in our lives. So much clutter, so much hurt, so much pain. And yet, in the midst of our messy lives, God has called us. Just like God called those 12 weirdos in the New Testament, right? Those oddballs, those misfits. God calls us and equips us with everything we need. We don't need all that extra stuff because we already have what we need. God's promise, God's love, and God's call. May we know it, may we live it, may we share it.